Stupid, eh? Are you a stupid fool? Well, why can't you drive then? You can't even drive! Bit grey today, isn't it?
I'm here. Welcome, everybody. Merry Christmas, all. How you doing, Mr. D?
Oh, Merry Christmas. Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Now, let me just tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This and all the streams this week are going to be pre-recorded. But if anybody sends super chats and so on, as I'm imagining people may want to do, I will do like a super duper super chat roundup stream at the end of the week. Okay, so all three shows, Deepest Lore, Unpopular Opinions, and Cigar Stream, are going to be pre-recorded this week. But I'm going to I'll do like a kind of super chat mop up stream. But for this year's Christmas Deepest Lore, what are we doing, Dee? Why didn't you explain to the
what are we doing? So I'm a big fan of early 90s American television show called Mystery Science Theater 3000, which I think sort of was one of the kind of shows that spawned this idea, which is a very, I will say, Daria Gen X thing, which is, of course, I'm right in the middle of that cohort. But basically, the show was watching films, generally films from the past, and commenting on them. And of course, that idea has become a kind of staple of YouTube, you know, in a certain way. But I sort of thought it would be very interesting, because we've done this before in different forms and with different sorts of films. I mean, you did those advert streams with Pharaoh and Samuel Gog and such. So I thought it would be fun if I selected some films from the past, and you know, we just had a lighthearted watch of them and see what we think.
All right. Well, first up on the docket here is a film called The American Creed, from 1948, I want to say. Is that right?
Yes. 1946.
Okay. But because you're on your phone, we're gonna do this sync up idea. So I'm gonna play it after three. You got it ready, lined up?
Yep.
One, two, three, and play. So this is from this pretty famous Prelinger archives.
Yes, many of these films are from the Prelinger archives, which is available on archive.org.
My name's Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, it's Jimmy Stewart.
Before I came home, I heard a lot of things that made me worry a little as to whether this was still the same America I grew up in. I wondered when I heard about a couple of crackpots here and there that wanted to make things different. And then I heard from a lot of friends of mine out here in Hollywood about a thing.
Is he talking about communists?
The American Brotherhood of Christians and Jews. So, if it's all up to you, I'd like to have some of these folks out here tell you just why they joined. I will start with Van Johnson.
I joined because I'm pretty grateful for the kind of country that gave me my break. And I've learned that all Americans are the same kind of people, no matter what way they want to worship God.
Shirley Temple.
At school, we were all taught the value of teamwork. Well, good grief, America was built by all of us working together.
This is an Edward Bernays special, dude.
Basically.
And you helping her, and all of us helping each other. I'm for it.
Eddie Cantor. You know, the most wonderful sound in the world.
Some of these people have, let's just say, more of a
no tyrant in history ever had a sense of humor or a sense of tolerance. Here in America, we have both. Let's keep them. Let's join
I mean, this is the idea of America.
The history of Hitler and his madmen proves that what starts out as hatred of the Jews or Catholics or any one religious group turns finally into an attack upon all religion. We just have not learned our lesson if we let that start here. Jennifer Jones.
One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Under God? Under God?
I like she was literally reading out of her.
I love America.
One nation, indivisible, under God?
No.
Catherine Hepburn.
Hate is a disease. People who talk hate and people who organize the hate.
I mean, this is literally what we're watching here. Is the birth of boomerism?
Yes.
Ingrid Bergman.
The American Constitution says God has endowed men with certain
inalienable rights. Among which every single star of that era, D, was in on it. Look.
I mean, beautiful Ingrid Bergman.
We must grant the same freedom of worship to our fellow man.
I like that Katharine Hepburn likened hate to typhoid carriers. Edward Robinson.
I pledge allegiance to this basic ideal of my country. Fair play for all. I pledge myself to keep America free from the disease of hate that destroyed Europe.
The disease of hate.
In good heart.
Edward G. Robinson was, I think, literally a member of the Communist Party USA.
I mean, I find this film disgusting in many ways, Dee.
Yeah.
I joined the American Brotherhood.
You know, forcing America into this war, and now slinging this shit on them after all of the. There you go, look.
Yes, Truman. President Truman and Harold Stassen as honorary chairman and chairman. Yeah. I mean, obviously they were really playing. They were. I mean, this was right after the war, you know, and they were literally plucking the rawest emotional strings for this, you know.
Yeah, but I mean,
why was it necessary?
Well, I think it was necessary, Dee, because lots of Americans did not want to join the war. Lots of Americans harbored, views that were not composite with that message, and they wanted to push this idea of, what do they call it? The creed nation, you know, the propositional nation.
Yeah, exactly. The nation of an out of ideas. America is an idea.
Indeed. And I think that was really the start of what we would today call the pause right there. That is the very foundation of what I call Boomer Truth. That video that we watched right there. Hark What Discord Follows is all I've got to say. Which is not to say that I think it is, I think people should have ill will towards their, fellow man and so on. That is the Trojan horse through which so much other damage was done to America and to the world, I would suggest.
And I think that, unfortunately, they played upon the better instincts of people. I mean, most people don't harbor just sort of blind, broad hatreds for other types of people. But they knew that. I mean, again, they were taking what in many cases, I mean, like Shirley Temple, of course, at that age, mm-hmm. I mean, she's still basically a child. They were taking a kind of noble impulse and a Christian impulse as well, and mm-hmm. they were exploiting it in a very deliberate way. You know, I mean, the problem isn't the message so much, it's really what the agenda behind it was. And I as mm-hmm. I said, I mean, Edward G. Robinson, I believe later on was revealed that he was literally at one point a member of the Communist Party in America. So there was something else going on. This was not about what it said it was about.
And it was under the cover of, look, it's Jimmy Stewart, America's apple pie.
He was a war hero. I mean, at this point,
a hero,
would have known he fought in the war. Very deeply, very manipulative and dark.
Deeply manipulative and dark film. What do you want to watch next, Dee?
Oh,
Santa Claus, Santa Claus Punch.
Yeah, let's watch Santa Claus Punch and Judy for a change, for a big change of pace.
Hold on, I'll go back to the start here.
I mean, I selected this, of course, for its Christmas. I mean, it's the only Christmas content in this entire collection. But also because, of course, it has a little bit of a Bowden reference with Punch and Judy.
All right, ready? One, yep. Two, three, and go. Did they have Punch and Judy in America?
Not, as far as I know, not really, no.
So, you wanted a dolly to cry and go to sleep?
Yes, Santa.
Yes. Here she is, and she's yours.
Oh, thank you, Santa.
Ooh. Don't like this American urchin, D. Something about American kids that is uncute for me.
Oh.
I like it.
Who else wrote to me?
I did, Santa.
Oh, look at it! Look at her.
And what did you ask for?
I found with furniture and everything.
Well.
Triple A is going to start making these requests soon enough, eh?
God.
Look at the boys there. They don't care.
Here it is.
Hey.
Just a little bit off topic. When I was giving a Triple A a bath earlier on, you know what you came up with again?
No. No.
Dobbin. Black Dobbin.
Oh.
And did you write to me?
Yes, Santa. My one allowed to mom.
God, he's got a big backside, that lad, isn't he?
Oh, like the Tottentot Venus.
Well,
yeah.
I guess we've got something here.
What's he giving him?
What is it?
Thank you, Santa.
Wait, what is it? I don't know, it had tape on the side like it had already been opened.
How would you all like to have a real Punch and Judy show?
There's always something sinister about these Santas.
Yeah, oh, always.
Look at all those.
All right. Now everybody sit facing the fireplace.
I want to know what's up on the shelf.
Now, every.
The complete works of Thomas Carlyle.
Punch and Judy up here.
Ugh!
Oh, not bad.
He's literally manifesting Punch and Judy from the other dimension.
Eat your heart out, Paul Daniels.
So, if our younger viewers have never seen a proper Punch and Judy show, I mean, it is an ancient set of archetypes.
Mm.
And
I want to say they got it in Italy as well. I think there's an Italian equivalent of Punch. I seem to remember.
Yeah, well, they sort of have the Commedia dell'arte.
Is it Punchinello? Punchinello?
Punchinello. I don't know much about it. I believe that part with Prime Minister at some point. But I mean, they're doing. I mean, these are the voices they generally have. The relationships between all the characters are set, and I love, of course, it's basically full of violence and sex. You know.
It's anarchic. It's kind of culture from below, genuine culture from below.
Yep.
You know, folk culture.
And there were men who were, you know, who spent their whole lives doing this, and they would go from time to time and perform these shows. I mean, from the Middle Ages, really, you know, late Middle Ages. Oh, what the doing?
That little boy would be diagnosed with ADHD today.
I know.
Just a little boy, but you know.
Yeah. There was a trigger warning on this film. I downloaded it, by the way.
Oh, was there? What was the trigger warning?
Someone had taken upon themselves to post a trigger warning to tell him not to show this to children.
Well, because of the violence.
Yeah, violence, you know, sexism. I mean, most of the Punch and Judy things involve someone getting beaten with a stick at some point.
There's usually a element of sausages as well.
Yes, the butcher with the sausages. Who Punch usually goes to steal them. The devil often comes up. There's also a constable or a sheriff. Oh! Oh, it's Panama Hat. I disavow this Quashy on Quashy Island.
Is this the era where the Italian and the Irish boxers had kind of fallen by the wayside? Because
yeah, this is approaching that era. Yeah.
Is that that's a monkey?
That's a monkey.
It's just mental.
I love it so much. I mean, the children love it. Look at them.
Yeah. I will say, whenever I've put on like older cartoons and things for AAA, they've just been much too violent, and I have to turn them off again. You know, she's only really? Two, but don't forget.
Yeah.
There's a lot of violence in cartoons we used to watch.
Exactly, Tom and Jerry. Oh.
Even like Donald Duck or something. He's constantly just like losing his temper and smashing things up. And...
this is so good. I want you to show this AAA at some point. I mean, I would think that Zuma, like, this is right up the street of the Zumas. I mean, as far as I've seen is Zuma humor, this is exactly what they like.
You think somebody could set up a TikTok and a show like 15-second clips of...
Punch. You know, Nick Fuentes is basically Punch. Oh, the skunk. Goodness. And I love, of course, it has nothing at all to do with Christmas. Whatsoever.
No.
Oh, crocodile.
This is, I wonder what the thinking was behind this.
You're assuming that there was thinking behind this. Oh. Yay! There's Judy back.
You enjoyed it?
Goodbye, Punch. Goodbye, Judy.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Punch and Judy disappear.
Oop. Sending them back into the void.
There we go. That's not bad.
Now I have to go too. I have other children waiting for me.
Mm.
So, Merry Christmas to all. Merry Christmas to all.
I've got more children to expose to sexual violence.
Well, that's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Goodness gracious.
All right. Shall we pick a longer one, D? I know there are some. Shall we stick a. Okay. So let me pick out. Do you want to do Apaches or do you want to do Perversion for Profit?
Let's do Apaches. That's a jolly one. Okay. I need to give a preface to this. I mean, so when I was, I'm a child of the 70s, and I didn't go to the sort of school that would have exposed me to these things generally, but I did see them. I mean, I do remember seeing some of these when I was young. These were all safety films. I mean, the 70s and the early 80s was like the kind of golden age of British safety film.
Mm-hmm.
Aimed at children. I mean, like Clunk Click. every trip and splink and
The one I always remember was the little boy who had that stick, and he was like, yeah, the stick up against the railings, and then he ends up knocking over the bottle of milk. And the little girl, like, I think there's like a little girl at the end of it who's like crying because he's knocked the milk bottle over.
I remember that. The ones I remember like were like children literally being like electrocuted and like children getting run over by cars. I mean, let's just say that these films were quite hardcore in this era. I mean, this was 1977. This is a quite famous one. Many older viewers will, British viewers, will remember Apaches. And this is, you know, this is a high value, production value thing. I mean, this was literally funded, I believe, by the British government in some respect. But I would say that this is a surrealist masterpiece.
Oh my god!
Well, there you go. That was a bad cheese.
What was the takeaway though? Don't play on a farm.
Don't play on a farm. I literally think that was the takeaway. Don't play on a farm. Don't play on a farm.
Holy shit! what do you want to watch next?
Oh, God's sake! Oh dear, we need something slightly more. More up
the Coca-Cola one, refreshment.
Yeah, how about refreshment on the job? Yeah.
All right. So after three, then.
Yep.
One, two, three, and go. This is also from the Prelinger archives.
Yep. Oh.
Nice. I still can't get over that last one. Bloody hell.
What's missing from this scene? Oh! Okay,
yes, of course.
Based in Andy Warhol film.
Is that meant to be her husband? He's about 20 years older than her.
Yeah. I think that these are just assorted vignettes.
I see.
Builders, what's missing in my life? Oh, a Coca-Cola.
Yes.
I sort of missed, you know, there was something kind of honest about this sort of product placement, you know. You know, we're not trying to engineer your life, we're not trying to tell you about racism. You know, we just want you to have a Coca-Cola.
Because really what America is about is an idea.
Exactly, an idea. And the idea is Coca-Cola. Oh. Now that is a nice pair of high-waisted trousers.
Everywhere people go, they want refreshment. At home, on the road, at the ball game, or wherever.
That
not only at play, but also at work.
He is very Chad.
On the job.
That kind of 1940s, 1950s masculine voice of authority has disappeared, hasn't it? Or is it equivalent to that voice now?
Especially quality refreshment.
I don't even know.
Refreshment you can. There is no, because they kind of talk to you like you're a child now, don't they?
Yes, exactly. Your job. I'm of course very sympathetic to the ginger lad there. The
best of materials, with experience and care.
Yes.
You can enjoy quickly and conveniently.
Quickly and conveniently.
I think it would still be a nickel at this point as well, by the way. They had their price fixed until 1955, I seem to recall, from my researches.
Yeah, a very long time. Oh, you did research into this, did you?
Yeah, it was I saw.
Did you see?
I saw. Unions hadn't busted those yet.
You know how it is. You just seem to get along better with your work when you're fresh and refreshed through the day.
The working man. I mean, I hate to say, there's a part of me that sort of loves this kind of cursed idea of sort of, you know, the great product. I don't know.
Yeah.
Spots as close as possible to you, so you won't have to walk clear across the plant for a little quick refreshment. Top management was in on it. And the foreman, too.
Yeah.
They're literally potting the cake
machine. No one knows his shop and what is required to run it right better than the foreman. So when that big red tool shows up on your job, you know it isn't being put in.
Yeah, the price of a bottle of Coke, Dee, was a nickel from 1905 until 1955.
Wow.
Why that's interesting from an economics point of view is because, of course, it was a price fix. And what I did is I looked at Coca-Cola sales, and sure enough, when there was inflation, Coke sales went up, and when there was deflation, Coke sales went down. Because Coke would be cheap or expensive compared to all the other products, you see.
Right, because it was, never varied. I mean, this was 1951, so of course this would have been in that era.
He makes it his business to see to it that there is always enough on hand in every cooler to meet the demand. And he likes to get first-hand information on whether or not everyone is getting refreshment just right, ice cold. And this fellow is plenty particular on that subject. He'll settle for nothing less than the, well, call it the ice cold.
I'd still go back to that world in heartbeat, though, Dee.
I know.
Even if the pause is coming, it'd still be better to live your whole life in that era than this one, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean the interregnum was certainly better than what become of it.
No, I sometimes think that America was they rewarded the GI generation. This generation here was got a pat on the head for World War II, essentially.
Mm.
You know, before like the true, you know, sledgehammer was taken to the culture.
I suppose the 1930s, well, depending on who you were, was also some slight conversation.
Well, I mean, Julius Evola watching this would be shaking his head, of course, you know.
Yeah, I mean...
because it's all soulless and...
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's monstrous. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, this is certainly the harbinger of things to come, but... It was existing on the fumes of civilization.
And there were all sorts of inbuilt assumptions about hierarchy and great chain in here, as I've touched on before.
Yeah, put your bottles back in them.
In this world, everybody accepts their place, from the foreman to the guy on the floor of the factory.
Yep.
You accept that there's this architect planning everything.
Putting the bottles back in the rack. Do your part. And the thing is, of course, there would be no question. I mean, everyone would do their part.
It's just a reminder.
There would be no idea of kind of non-compliance. There would be nobody like smashing the bottles up.
And elsewhere in
because there was a homogeneity to the culture.
But it's weird, though, because we don't like the conformity culture being brought in by the Kufti. And yet, in a strange way, it's a new form of conformity of this era. But yet, the conformity of this era seemed better somehow, because it was geared towards better ends, I suppose.
It did not require you to violate, I think, basic principles about how you related to the kind of structures of power. I mean, these people understood. They understood, like, that it all made sense in a very ancient way. I mean, it sounds very strange to say that, but I think the order of this world made sense in the way that the order of the world made sense to a peasant. You know, in the, in the, in the, in, you know, in in earlier time. And I think the problem is that now the things being required of people don't make any sense anymore. They violate basic principles about what we think about life and power and all those things. They require us to lie. I mean, that's something I've said before. This didn't require these people to live in a lie.
It requires a certain amount of self-debasement, I think. The current system. Isn't that the strong woman? Isn't that the women's strength?
The riveter. Look at these lads. Exactly. If you give him Coke.
There it is. 5 cents. Look.
Yep. 5 cents.
That's a nickel, isn't it?
A nickel, yeah. Which would have had an Indian on it at this point, I think.
Very good.
The other thing, of course, I love about this is it's in old proper Technicolor, and it still looks great. You know, if you look at like films that were made on Ektachrome and other film stocks later on, they look terrible. They're very discolored and such, but that Technicolor still looks great.
Shall we watch Perversion for Profit?
Yeah, that's what. So I need to make a note about this. So Perversion for Profit was made in circa 1964. I had to go in and censor this because even though that the images presented in this were censored, they're not censored well enough for YouTube.
Susan is more of a prude.
Than literally like hyper moralists in 1964. Yes. So there was booba that would not have passed the test. So I did censor out any booba and bummage.
All right. So 1, 2, 3, and go. Citizens for Decent Literature, Inc. presents Perversion for Profit by Ryan Turnip. George Putnam, outstanding news reporter. Okay.
Hello there. I'm George Putnam.
Hello.
I'd like to begin with a fact. A simple yet shocking fact. It is this. A flood tide of filth is engulfing our country in the form of newsstand obscenity.
Flood tide of filth.
Pervert an entire generation of our American children.
I chose this because I thought this would appeal to lots of people. Practically impossible. This conversation is something I quite pertinent.
In regard to sex. Yet much of this material has been described as an illustrated, detailed course in perversion. Abnormal sex, crime, and violence.
I love the type of these cards.
Buys this material, 75 to 90% of it ends up in the hands of our children.
Filth.
Now, you might ask yourself, why this sudden concern? Pornography and sex deviation have always been with mankind.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. But now, consider another fact. Never in the history of the world have the merchants of obscenity, the teachers of unnatural sex acts,
merchants of obscenity,
to them, the modern facilities for disseminating this filth.
Yes.
High-speed presses.
Yeah.
Rapid transportation. Mass distribution. All combined to put the vilest obscenity within reach of every man, woman, and child in the country.
Mr. Putnam, you have no idea what was to come.
Years, this obscenity traffic and salacious news.
This is remarkable. I mean, it's 1964, you said this is.
Not only
content.
Let's have a look. 45, 55.
Continues to increase.
I mean, 14 years, basically. 14 years is what we're looking at. And we're already reaching Weimar again, you know.
Oh, yes.
And for it more than 800 distributed.
I mean, except Weimar ended well before this did. This is never going to end.
We're still in it right now.
Yep.
Dirt for
Money. Do you know something else? I mean, this guy's called George Putnam. Oh, look at that.
Look at him. There he is.
Is that a dog whistle? That's a dog whistle.
Maybe.
Putnam, that's a dog whistle. Putnam. That's a penguin archetype, dude. Come on. I was just going to say, this guy's name is Putnam. With American writers, you can generally kind of... There's a kind of shorthand for which side of the political aisle they're on. If they've got a surname like Putnam, they're going to be a conservative. And if they're a... If they've got other sorts of surnames, they're going to be on the inside.
Leavitt. Oh, I love... I think it's the next card.
These abnormalities are corrupting the minds and the hearts of our children.
It's the John... Look, it's the John D. Octopus.
It's literally you.
But look how unhappy I look. Look how unhappy I look at converting the United States.
Abnormal sexual behavior as being normal.
Uh-oh.
They glorify unnatural sex.
I think I'm going to get called out, AA, before this is over. It's smart. It's thrilling.
It provides kicks to be abnormal sex acts.
A sadist and every other kind of deviant.
Deviants.
The Military Chaplains Association of the United States.
Military chaplain. They're literally teaching pronoun courses in the U.S. military now.
The juvenile court judges, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the innumerable psychiatrists, sociologists, and psychologists attribute the moral decay among our people in very large part to the obscene and pornographic literature so prevalent in our society.
He had no idea, because I reckon in 64 they would already be in pause, you know.
Yeah.
All those
institutions.
So had...
Yep. I mean, it was the bare end of that, you know. I mean, this was the age where you could still find, like, literally academics that could talk about this and sociologists. But that it was the very end of that, I would say.
Yet, on virtually every newsstand is a welter of misinformation which can wreck them for life. Well, at this point, my friends, I wish to make it clear that the obscenity I'm talking about and the examples that I'm about to show you were not bought on the sly from under the counter. They were not purchased on Skid Row or on the other side of the tracks. They can be bought openly by anyone in drugstores, groceries, delicatessens, terminals, malt shops, cigar stores, newsstands, all over the community. They can be purchased by children, whether in a small town like McAllen on the Rio Grande,
filth,
or in Chicago, New York, or Los Angeles. A prime example of one major category are the so-called girly magazines.
Uh-oh.
Sell over 15 million copies a month.
15 million copies a month in 1964. Stark
nudity. No, of course, it's just trans femboys on the cover, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they didn't even have magazines. You just get on their OnlyFans.
Didn't they have a femboy in the front of a Playboy recently?
Yes. There was a transsexual.
The nudity of these magazines is defended and foisted upon the people by a vociferous minority in our society.
Minority.
Oh, wait.
They lack the moral standards and values of our Judeo-Christian heritage.
Judeo-Christian.
He used the term. Judeo-Christian. I didn't know that term had been around this long.
Well, we saw the birth of it, didn't we?
Amazing. For the sake of
decency. Yeah. Well, she had the old femboy, the tomboy abs, actually, that woman.
Yeah.
But actually, these magazines not only display.
Who are the minority then?
I wonder who they are. So this is the censoring that I had to do. I'm sorry. I tried to make my censor card fit with the aesthetic.
Yeah, it was very good. I didn't realize it was yours.
Yeah. Well, I recognize the pipe face.
And this one, with its
overtone. I mean, it was literally showing breasts with just like a small dot over it.
I see. Susan wouldn't like that, of course.
No.
Another important problem common to these publications is the dwelling upon teenage participation in wild, flagrant abuses of the God-given gift of sex. This is amply depicted by the pose of this...
Do you know this guy reminds me a little bit of the of that general from
from Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah,
Jack T. Ripper. Yeah, our precious,
my precious fluids, my vital bodily essences.
Gonna let you. You don't have to answer to the Coca-Cola company. Harvard sociologist. Imagine a Harvard sociologist like talking about degeneracy.
Well, you wouldn't want to undermine those Judeo-Christian values, would you?
I had to censor all the nudist things because, I mean, there's literally like their bum breast. I mean, the one problem with this film is that it purports to be a kind of philippic against this perversion. And yet it spends like literally 10 minutes showing very explicit chop bits.
Yeah.
I did have a dark thought that this was maybe produced so that it could be shown without regulation, you know. That literally people could get their rocks off on it.
Right,
but I looked up and George Putnam was a real person. He was, you know, not a deviant as far as I can tell. So
You see, I mean, a man like this is the kind of antibodies of a society, and look at how they've been disarmed systematically.
I would say
that even George Putnam here has had his oh my God.
Oh no, I'm getting called out.
Are often not understood by many youngsters who take them as instruction of body development.
Oh no.
Psychiatrists believe that prolonged exposure
BAP wrecked. Type of publication. Bronze Age pervert. Call that.
You were made this way through these manuals when you were a kid.
I never saw these manuals.
according to psychologists.
Grecian guild pictorial.
Becomes a pawn for these misfits.
Misfits.
Oh.
You have a slogan that betrays the evil of the breed.
What?
Today's conquest, they say, is tomorrow's competition. Tender age at which homosexuals prefer their conquest.
I don't prefer tender age. What are you talking about?
And bright smiles.
Called out D.
The hope of the world. But in the other half of the picture is
got your number as Putnam.
Of the innocent. Look at this poor young lad.
I can only imagine what it
says. I did have to cut it out.
When photos like these are available at the corner news rack. And so it goes, countless poses, still pictures, slides, movies, all with the same content, and more of the same. This picture is not one
physique
magazine. It's BAP, I'm telling you.
It's another class of magazines dealing with transvestites.
Oh my God.
Wearing of female garments.
Disgusting.
That which provides sex gratification for the participant.
Why have they censored his eyes, Steve?
On the cover I don't of the know.
Magazine, the charges we have made. In this ad, the titles of the magazines and their table of contents speak more eloquently than I of the tremendous problem here presented. Sexual sadism, strange flagellation cults, erotic, confessions of a sadist. What is fetishism? The pleasure of pain.
Tomboy abs.
Now, Dr. Edward Podolsky and Carson Wade.
I am a rock and roll transvestite. I'm sweet transvestite and transsexual Transylvania.
These titles lead us to an even more bizarre but nevertheless common product of our news racks. The composite picture here.
Tomboy abs.
This type of aberration is
depicted by showing several persons, one of whom is dominant, and binding or inflicting pain upon the other. And thus the grotesque costuming and
I like the Persian in the background.
Yeah, what was he doing there?
The riding crop, the burning bizarre manner, rubber and leather garments, and all the rest.
Oh, I see.
And here again,
the college co-ed.
College co-ed.
My God.
Yeah. It looks like it's a Christmas ham.
Lion tamer in leather.
Dr.
Sorokin, utter filth. Must utterly condemn this.
Today the newsstands, quote, depict the world as a sort of human zoo inhabited by raped, mutilated, and murdered females and by he-males outmatching in bestiality cavemen and outlusting the lustiest of animals. Male and female alike are hardened in cynical contempt.
You see, this is quite good analysis by Putnam, because it is all about reduction to animal instincts.
Yeah,
isn't it? A lot of the parts. But I would suggest, D, that even at this point, Putnam has had several key elements of the antibody defense knocked out from under him without even realizing it.
Becoming more and more common. Like what?
Like Judeo-Christian, for example, as a basis of his defense, you know.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, you're rudderless there. Men's Adventure Magazine. Word and picture,
lust and violence. Oh my gosh, look, the...
It would seem that... You ever hear of a film called Ilsa the She-Wolf of the SS?
Yeah.
To hook the adolescent into
the knowledge of the unnatural. I had a bunch of like old rock and roll compilations, like Grease, like which loved that kind of, you know, kind of SS girls from outer space aesthetic, you know.
Yeah. Is complete. All of you have
heard of mail order obscenity.
The problem is graphically illustrated by these advertisements, all of which were stuck from this one copy of a single Girly magazine.
I like your little commentary.
I'd probably pick up Gem. Look, she's literally just bending over with her arm.
I know. I mean, the thing is, of course, that, like, half of these are quite tame. You know, you literally get mainstream adverts that are spicy.
I mean, yeah, or just like a, you know, typical MTV video these days. Insidious single group of publications
is the cheap pocketbook.
In page after page of these so-called novels, sex organs, positions of intercourse,
abnormal
practices of every kind.
I think Ulysses.
One of the difficult things I find, having a 2-year-old, is that even the thumbnails on like Disney Plus or Amazon Prime or YouTube are not appropriate for a 2-year-old, for example, in this day and age. Like you literally have to set it to like kids safe all the time, you know, just for the thumbnails.
Yeah, everything, and certainly the adverts. I mean, I've I accidentally turn on things without ad block, and I mean horrible things come up. I got that thing with that like gay rapper like having intercourse with Satan, you know, literally. It is called Sex Jungle. I like that he has a whole library. Look, not because it is particularly obscene, but because it portrays. I mean, the thing is that probably a lot of these.
I want the truck, Steve, to make a series of memes based on this guy. You know, if only you knew how bad things are.
If only you knew how bad things are. Depravity. Look at these. I love it.
A 16-year-old boy, member of a gang, has just clubbed an old man in the course of a robbery. And he's thinking back over his accomplishments. Maybe he would die. That would mean I had murdered him. I smiled, trying the idea on for size. One of the things that always had cheesed me a little was that I had no kills to my credit.
Is this like literally Alex from Clockwork Orange?
Alex boy. I'd never killed anyone. You know, or maybe now American Psycho. He's Bret Easton Ellis.
I couldn't feel very proud of sculling an old man, but at least I could say that I'd scored. That was a big kick. What are we alive for, except to grab all the kicks we can?
A bit of the old ultraviolence. That's a
kick. Kicks, sure, yeah. A guy kicks. Can't ever get
enough of that. Did it for the kick. Drinking.
That's another kick. So I wouldn't underestimate this impetus, though, D, because, you know, in our current moment, the animus towards, for example, the unvaxxed, basically unlocks this kind of dark animal side of humans and gives you permission to voice these sorts of feelings or even to act them out, you know.
Yes. You've talked about this. Well. Yeah, you mentioned this before, I remember, with the Iraq War, that there was almost like a moment where people were given permission to, like, you know, have these, express these things about Muslims and Islam and Arabs and such.
And then a video game would allow you to literally, like, shoot their heads off.
I mean, it is like the elites are giving you permission to vent your primal, your violent primal instinct.
And if gaming wasn't so heavily dominated by right-wing men, I wouldn't be surprised if soon you'd start getting games where, you know, you can, like, shoot MAGA hats or, you know, there's already been movies of those.
Yeah, they've had films like that.
Hunters, right? I think the only thing stopping the game industry going that way is the fact that literally, it's all of our audience who play video games, you know.
I mean, it's difficult because, you know, I think about a game from the past, like 10 years, like The Last of Us. I mean, it's literally about a kind of zombie virus that wipes out
humanity. So many games are zombie virus, yeah.
But the problem, of course, is that all those games cast the kind of dissidents as the heroes of those games. And literally cast the oppressive remains of the state who are, like, you know, literally shooting people who test positive.
It's given rise to the 952D chess conspiracy theory that actually they're setting up for this. That we're actually being psyoped into being the dissidents, and then we're going to support some liberator who comes in, you know.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy it, but even if it is a psyop, fucking bring on the liberator. I don't give a shit.
Exactly. I'm afraid it's not going to be Piers Corbyn.
He's in jail now.
Yeah. Such as you've just seen, one of the major factors. And it is, I mean, Putnam, you know. That even if you knew that your own children would never... All right, you're repeating yourself a bit, Putnam. Come on. Or read
this material. I wonder when Putnam died and how bad he saw it get in his own lifetime.
We are constantly exposed to those
who do read this material. Let's have a look to see if he's got a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I'm looking. Into compulsive acts of sex violence.
As I said before, the most insidious piece of publication. He died in 2008.
Oh!
In California.
Yep, he did.
He lived to see Obama.
At age 94, he lived from 1914 to 2008. 20 children born in the
United States last year was illegitimate. The rate of
illegitimacy has been steadily climbing. And the care of these children costs. Apparently, he was roasted by President Richard M. Nixon in 1984.
It must have been like really part of like the paleocon establishment for Nixon to know him.
Wonder. Publications promote as
fun. I mean, he seems like he was a pretty high-profile guy, to be honest.
Although Putnam advocated many conservative viewpoints, he stated many times his status as a lifelong Democrat. Since his youthful admiration of U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Oh, shit. One segment of
the increase. Fuck's sake. Amazing. Among the
expanding, what are the odds of that?
Well, there was a time when, you know, you didn't have to be literally...
Well, I mean, Democrats would pay lip service to conservative values.
Even Clinton, even as recently as Clinton... Bill Clinton. Crime of violence, murder, forcible rape, or assault
to kill, being committed every 3 years. All his friends were based, by the way. The Bob Hope, John Wayne, Charles.
Yeah, I was going to say Bob Hope and
Peggy Lee. all pretty good. All pretty based characters. Mad magazines are helping to create
criminals faster. We can build. Amazing. Look at that pouring out of the Beano and right into jail. Challenging every mother and father in the... I mean, the funny thing, of course, is that as a Gen X person, I am programmed to laugh at this. But the essence of what he's saying literally came true. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, the slippery slope is the undefeated champion.
Yeah.
It's the undefeated champion.
Listen.
Educational and emotional stability necessary for family life.
Yeah.
Do you want your son enticed into the world of homosexuals?
No.
Yes. Oh, no. Lesbianism.
Do you want either of them to discover how to get sexual gratification by inflicting pain on themselves or by torturing other people?
Filth.
Do you want them to lose all chance of a normal, happy, married life? Opponents to the control of obscene literature say that the circulation of this material is the price we pay for freedom in this country.
Just the price you pay for living in the big city.
It's not freedom, it's slavery.
Smut peddlers do not have the right to contaminate our society. This is a nation of laws.
See, he should have pointed out that it's a form of mind control as well, though. Maybe a more powerful argument than just doubling down on law and order. Because he's giving them the freedom frame.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Lakewood has a valid constitutional legal ordinance prohibiting the publication, sale, or distribution of obscene material. It is under this law that the defendant herein was arrested and prosecuted. The Supreme Court of the United States has clearly stated that obscenity is without constitutional protection. The Supreme Court has defined obscenity as material which deals with sex in a manner
look at these people to the amazing interest.
That is material having a tendency
is that to Murray Rothbard there? it looked like it.
It did.
It is not necessary to prove that this material
he'd have been against this, of course.
An act of violence or sex
first
but merely that the material taken in itself is obscene. The test is
you're never gonna get a jury in America that looks like this today, are you?
Standards.
No. The dominant theme of the material taken as a whole appeals to the prurient interest. If material meets this test, it is without the constitutional guarantees of freedom of press and speech. Now you, the jury, must apply the test of obscenity to the material distributed by this defendant.
I continually think the American public will like just like you know, I said it on that stream a while back, Hufflepuff in Harry Potter just waiting to be swindled by Slytherin and all of the bad, you know.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of that line in Scarface, you know. America's just one fat pussy waiting to get fucked.
Yes,
because they're just so fucking naive, just waiting to be have their culture destroyed by.
Well, listen, I mean America, this is a people who had, you know, several hundred years of blissful morality and the building of a civilization. I mean, with, of course, many setbacks, of course, but, you know, I think there was, even into the middle of the 20th century, there was this expectation of most Americans that everyone was on the up and up, that your fellow Americans had the same values, and that no one, you know, that weren't evil people trying to subvert you, you know, at every
It's been the way through history, though, where you take people in good faith as opposed to, you know, assuming the worst of them, which is why the third of Robert Conquest's laws is a good one. You know, assume it's run by a cabal of your enemies, which is, I think, is a pretty good rule, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite sad. You know, because I think for a lot of the history, you know, the Americans, depending on, you know, where they were and when you're talking about, I mean, they were justified in thinking this. I mean, most people in America had no reason to fear subversion. And
yeah,
yet
but
it came from
I would recommend seeing how vigilantly that has to be policed as well, though. Especially in the early year. Like in the, this is why I tell people to read that book, what's it called? Albion's Seed, you know, the Hackett Fisher book.
Yeah.
Because he goes into, you know, exactly what they did to maintain that order, you know. Banishing people who weren't married.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that order was kept on in a very small scale. I think when when control started to pass into larger and larger spheres is when things started to spiral out of control. I mean, I think many of those things were quite hyper-local. You know, you would know your community.
The law is your weapon. Fifth, write letters of
the federal government was always going to grow, though. It's the logic of power.
Yeah.
It was always going to...
Yep. Poison in fact, seed.
I got a book somewhere called Why Liberalism Failed by Patrick Deneen, where he talks about how he thinks that this was by design, that the founders always knew that the federal government would enlarge itself.
Controversial. Yeah. I don't know that I would agree with that for some of them. I mean,
he points to Federalist 10 as his main example by Madison. Madison.
Yeah. In your community.
But a lot of the stuff I've been reading, as you can imagine, like Juvenal and Schmidt, and these guys, they're basically like, yeah, separation of powers is bollocks, though. Like, in theory, you can get it, but in practice, the dominant central power will always try to say mine.
And within, you know, basically 25 years of the founding of America, the framework was completely subverted already. So.
Yeah.
Box 12, since that's CDL. So you can see from what I have told you and shown you today that a moral decay is spreading through our country
and our society. This same type of rot and decay caused 16 of the 19 major civilizations to vanish from the earth.
Ooh, based and glove-pilled.
Amazing.
Greece, Imperial Rome, all crumbled away.
Good, yeah.
Not because of the strength of the aggressor, but because of moral decay.
Moral decay.
Within. But we are in a unique position to
cure. We're British are going insane somewhere. No, because of some other reason.
Was written by men who put their trust
in God.
And founded Did a they? Government
Did they though?
On his law.
He's on. See, this is the trouble. He's on quicksand. Yeah.
Well, again, I mean, he was a lifelong Democrat. He loved FDR.
He's literally predicating his defense on things that cannot stand. To deliver ourselves from this twisting. Constitution's not going to save you, son.
No.
Your belief in democracy is not going to save you.
I mean, half of the brilliant framers of the U.S. founding documents were, I would say, not particularly God-fearing men at all.
A safe home. Oh, God, deliver us, Americans, from evil.
Well, there we are.
Oh, I'm afraid your prayer was not answered. It may be answered yet. Who knows?
I don't think so. I think America is a goner in the long run, D, I'm afraid. I think I know people are going to re-at this, but the increasing bolshiness of the Chinese. I saw that basically Western powers have said they're not going to intervene in Ukraine if Putin tries it on. These are signs that the empire is kind of, it's not as strong as it was. You know, now the Chinese and Putin and so on can get away with things that they wouldn't have gotten away with before,
right?
Which shows to me either a passing of the torch, either it's a kind of deliberate thing, as we talked about before, where Western leaders saying, okay, now it's your turn, or it's just an inability of America to maintain its hegemony.
Well, I'm reminded. I mean, I hate to cite Douglas Murray because, of course, you know, he just was a complete disappointment in many ways. But I think one of the points I always remember from The Strange Death of Europe was this idea of that European civilization was basically tired.
Too tired to fight.
We're just gonna acquiesce. We're gonna lie down and acquiesce. And I hate to think that that's what's happening everywhere, but it does seem like it.
Yeah, maybe America's too tired to fight as well. I mean, but what are you going to fight for? So this is the thing. This is the thing I keep on coming back to. For what?
Drag Queen Story Hour.
Yeah, it's
gay
Drag
marriage.
Queen Story Hour. No. Yeah, they completely destroyed the country through subversion. So.
You know, George Floyd. Why would you fight for that? You know.
Now, we've got. Don't be a sucker. Control your emotions. What should we go for? English life in the country. English children life in the city, sorry.
Yeah, let's watch that one. That's. I was going to say it's cheerful, but it isn't.
It's from 1949. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. One.
Merry Christmas, everyone, by the way.
One, two, three, and go. Why is it in collaboration with Harvard?
Very good question. I think it's an American film to be shown to American children.
I see. In summer,
you're likely to find boys playing marbles. Boys like Tommy Watkins and his friends. Our girls have their own games, of course. Here's Tommy's sister, Joan, and her friends.
1949.
One thing that struck me about this film is that it was very unusual at this time to hear a regional accent in an announcer like this.
We have very pleasant school buildings in our
which, even though it's subtle, but he certainly does have a non-RP accent.
Many of our boys and girls like.
I'm interested by the architecture, D. And that's what given that it's 49. What is that building there?
Oh no, that would certainly have been in the style for 49. That came in the 1930s. Basically international modernism.
It's modernist, yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean that was coming in the teens in the 1920s. So.
It isn't long till school is out, and here is Tommy, watching his brother Frank playing in a game of cricket.
Nice.
Frank's turn to bat. He takes his place at the wicket, waiting for the ball. The bowler bowls a fast one, but Frank makes a hit. Here he goes. That's one run for his team, and that's another. And now Frank's going to bat.
Just think all these boys now, D, spend their entire youth whacking off to anime and becoming trannies.
He's off again.
How far away the life of these young men were from that.
Oh, it could be 500 years ago.
Too bad, thinks Tommy. But Frank has put up a good show. Not far away at the grocery.
Love those old shops.
Sister Joan and
the Oxo.
Yeah.
The apples are quite nice today. Mrs. Watkins will have some of them.
The greengrocer. I mean, this is what they took from you.
Now that'll cost Mrs. Watkins 1 shilling.
And the fact he's wearing the grocer's coat as well. Look.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Joan gives the grocer.
There we go.
1 shilling, 1 6.
LSD.
And 1 penny.
based pre-decimalization.
Now the shopping done, Joan and her mother are off for home.
After all,
the boys are on their way to meet their father. They're walking
York
along
Minster.
The old city wall, built long ago to protect the city from enemies. Beyond, they can see the railway yards, and behind them stretch the rooftops of our city.
Bit of industrial.
York, an old city in the north of England.
York.
There's
York
Minster.
The oldest part of the city here below. You can see the towers of York Minster, our cathedral.
Choo-choo.
Edward the shunting in the carriage.
Here comes father. Mr. Watkins is an engine driver.
Mr. Watkins.
This afternoon, he's from Scotland.
Oop. Literally an engine driver. He's driving Edward.
Now here.
Sorry about what happened, Mr. Watkins.
Where the Watkins family lives.
Look at this.
Joan is cutting flowers for the table, She loves to choose and arrange the flowers. Mr. Watkins always
look,
many flower beds.
Right, look, I just want to point something out here. Like he's an engine driver. Look at his house.
Yeah.
Look at his house.
Yep. Lovely front garden. All the did you see all the houses on that street? You know?
Yeah.
Which would kitchen, be people Mrs. in the same Watkins station of life.
Buttering thin slices of bread She has the meal almost ready.
Now you could work in the city and you couldn't afford that house.
Now at the you would absolutely could afford this house.
From the kettle, she pours boiling water over the tea leaves. In
and
the
and on top of that, some and dickhead economist will tell you, oh, it's not because of immigration. It's not because there are more people in the country.
Yeah.
In the dining room, Mrs. Watkins has the table already laid. Is everything
I mean, an engine driver and a housewife. And I mean, this is tomatoes. Quite... Look at this
table. She doesn't even work. She doesn't even work.
Look at this table.
She, that woman, right, didn't have to work because this family could afford to live in that house on an engine driver's salary.
Also, in keeping with, you know, I would say a tradition from the 19th century, they still had a parlor piano. The
sports report was edited by Angus Mackay. And was introduced by Raymond Glendenning.
You know, in many ways, when Macmillan said, you've never had it so good, he was probably correct, you know.
Yeah.
The working class will never have had it, will never have it as good as this again.
Yep.
This, what we're seeing right here.
Look, wearing a suit and tie to the table.
Yes, Mother replies. Grandmother's expecting us.
Oh.
Ooh, can I take spot with me too?
Tommy.
Of course.
Tommy Watkins.
Who would feed him here?
Who would feed him here? There's Spot!
Waiting patiently for his tea. Fast forward 30 years, Tommy Watkins is leading the National Front.
Oh.
And it doesn't take long
Spot's getting his tea. Fresh tea.
He likes to spend the long, warm summer evenings working in the garden.
In the garden, yeah.
The holiday has come at last.
Scarborough Whitby.
It's a rather grey day. As holidays too often are here in England.
See, the thing is, right, there'll be people who are accusing us of rose tints and nostalgia here. Dude. This is just what life was.
This is what life was. I mean, I'm fairly old, and I certainly in my life have known people from generations all the way back, to the early 20th century, and this is literally what life was like.
Decline is real. Entropy is real. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Look at the Bobby there. Picture of water.
The guard opens the carriage door.
The carriage. Look at. I mean.
Look at the space. Look at the space in there.
Tommy.
Look and Spot. Spot's hopping on
the
train.
Corridor to find an empty compartment.
And look, they all have
an
compartment.
Empty one. Not people like sardines up against pushing up against each other. You know, now your face is in the armpit of some bloke from Syria or something.
Framed engravings on the wall of the compartment and.
I'm even more depressed now. Look at what they took from you.
I told you.
What? Well, one thing I will say about Missy Watkins, she's quite old, isn't she?
I was trying to figure out the age of Mr. and Mrs. Watkins. I hate to say, but they're probably like my age.
They seem old. They seem a bit old.
They seem old, but people age differently in the past, I would say.
Fields and hedges.
Now it's all fucking wind farms and. But the base Tories are going to turn the green and pleasant land of England into a fucking housing estate.
Now there's the harbour at the seaside, and the boys lose no time getting down to see the fishing boats. They've had many happy holiday visits here before. And most of the boats seem like old friends.
There's no excuse for the destruction brought upon the country.
No, it was willful. It was willful.
Just no excuse for it whatsoever.
Deliberate and willful.
All the boats are resting here in the harbour.
This could have gone on. But it was willfully destroyed.
Mending the big nets that they use to catch the fish. Perhaps later the boys will get these hardy men... to tell exciting stories about their adventures.
I want hardy men smoking pipes to tell me exciting stories about their time at the sea.
That one with the pipe looks a lot like my lawyer, by the way.
I don't think he has exciting tales about his life on the sea.
Actually, funny enough, he lives on a boat. I discovered the other day.
I
wouldn't say any more in case I dox him.
Yeah.
Maybe. He has appeared on national television, though, so, you know.
Excellent. I mean, I know barges. I know people that still live on the waterways, so. Oh, look at Mum in a basket and... I mean, I remember dimly the fag ends of this world, you know? Like, it was still... It was on the way out, but I vaguely remember life like this.
It's not that long ago. It really
isn't. Not that long ago. No.
John and Tommy can hardly wait. Poor Morgoth. he'd be devastated somewhere.
I know.
Oh.
Grandfather is in the doorway. Oh, grandfather and Gran. Warm welcome. Gran lives by the sea.
Just think, that old man there was probably born in like 1890 or something.
1890? Probably born in like 1860. And a cozy chat. It's really
going to be a fine holiday. Oh. Well, if he was in his... That would make him in his 90s. Oh, that was amazing. Got to see him in my eye. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Yeah, I quite like that one, but quite grim. Yeah. And quite grim.
Think of the state of the Zoomers now. They're just trying to get back to the 80s, you know.
I mean, the high point of their life was like 2005. Remember the wonderful days of 2005.
When you see that, you know, when you see that meme and it's like, we should improve things somewhat? The little peasant and Evelyn saying no, you understand why?
No. Yeah, the peasant. Yeah.
1381 John Smith is like, you know, he's watching that thinking, I can't believe it got that bad, you know. It's decline all the way down.
All the way down.
All right, should we watch one more before we head off?
So we've got what we have left. We've got RFD Greenwich Village, we've got Don't Be a Sucker, Make Mine Freedom, Control Your Emotions, or Detroit City on the Move. Which, again, another one of those, like, look with it.
Well, I mean, I think we've got time for one more, basically. So I'll let you choose, D.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you choose. You choose.
It's hard to say. I mean, should we give the Americans a look what they took from you, the Detroit City?
All right.
Yeah. Literally Henry Ford's backyard.
Oh.
City that Henry Ford built.
I mean, this is quite fascinating. This is literally made at really the very end. I mean, this was right before Detroit, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think Detroit lost something like 20% of its population within like 5 years or something.
Yeah.
After the Detroit riots of, was it 67, I think it was?
67, probably, yeah. I mean, it was so fast. I mean, as you'll see.
The absolute perversion of them making a film called Detroit, celebrating that. They literally made a film celebrating those riots in 1967.
Yeah.
I mean, the total depravity and perversion of it. Anyway, let's have a watch.
No, that's what they... I mean, you know, it was a great victory. The very exciting story.
Oh, sorry. All right. One, two, three, and go.
You are about to witness the very exciting story of a city and its people.
This also may have been the last white mayor of Detroit.
It will open new sights in familiar surroundings. It is a story of a city seeking new horizons in a resolute contest with great challenges. That city is Detroit, home of nearly 2 million people. Back in 1701...
Bowie song Panic in Detroit about this.
A nation, Cadillac no, that song was Detroit shore. That song was actually about teenagers in the future in some dystopian like collapse who'd Detroit forgotten how to breed hour. And they had to watch but old today, films to figure out how to have sex.
Yes, Detroit yeah, is he was only talking about 2021 though.
Great song. Exactly, the Zubas.
There's a newness.
There's a renaissance in Detroit.
I am honored to be serving as mayor at this most eventful and productive period in Detroit's history. And I'm honored to be a participant in the Detroit story.
Oh, are you though? Are you?
Couldn't you hear that story end, you know? Jerome P. Kavanaugh.
Jerome P. Kavanaugh was the mayor of Detroit from 1962 to 1970. And he lived until 1979. And I was wrong. There were a couple of white mayors after him.
One rich with the promise of fulfillment.
Oh.
In this bustling city on the Straits, where British and American flags soon followed the French, a spirit of brotherhood was born and nurtured.
Yeah, brotherhood.
Foreshadowing the city's national character. Here, people from many nations have...
Foreshadowing, interesting word.
...and built a metropolis of thriving commerce and culture. The Detroit River flows past the city's front door. The world's busiest waterway. This river is a vital passage to the Great Lakes and to the St. Lawrence Seaway beyond.
Should we go on the stream? Look at what they took from UD.
They enjoy more sparkling,
pure water than any similar area in the world. Detroit, the crossroads of half the population of the United States, is minutes away by bridge or tunnel from Canada. Between these friendly
Canada,
neighbors,
I like this accent.
Detroit River forms part of the world's longest undefended boundary.
I'm afraid your defenses needed to be... They should have been internal rather than external.
Yep.
There is a resurgence of civic pride and unfettered imagination.
Here we go.
It's a bit futurist, this architecture here. So it's almost like misleading about this place.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is there's this whole strain of American architecture from the 50s into the 60s. They had a very strange relationship to fashion.
Detroiters who welcome and respond to challenges. Today they are charting new courses, taking new action.
Do you think the current leaders of Detroit look at maps in this manner?
They can't even read a map. They can't even read a map.
Designing skill blends with imagination and experience.
I mean, the thing is, even the worst people in positions of power at this time were at least basically competent, which is nothing. You can't say that anymore.
Detroit levels and shifts.
Yeah, especially when about the local leadership in Detroit. I mean,
and a new spirit of progress.
Just hopeless.
The vision of its people.
Progress.
New buildings put solid roots in the ground and stretch toward the sky. Reflected here is planning with a purpose.
Oh, planning. Yes.
Mm. Don't be too proud of this, man.
Yeah, I mean, in a way,
monstrosity you've created.
Exactly, they were in a way seeding their own destruction. I mean, also the other thing, certainly about architecture, is Detroit was famous because quite a number of European architects, like Mies van der Rohe, did a lot of work in Detroit and in this area as well.
The inner city is becoming an exciting.
So a lot of these international style kind of Corbusian
shops, offices,
see,
European
modernist buildings were built there. Yeah.
I wonder if Detroit is a kind of premonition of the fate of every American city in the long run. If they will all, every city will become Detroit. It's happening in Chicago right now.
Isn't yeah, it certainly is. Well, another beautiful, amazing city.
Others in new cooperatives or friendly neighborhoods. Oh. Whatever the choice, Detroiters rate.
I mean, can you imagine what this neighborhood looks like now?
Working. Well, we've seen it on some of the ashes.
We've seen it. Yeah, on the ashes. Yeah. Oh. No. Shaniqua twerking.
Fine restaurants call you to good food.
You see, this is the thing, though. I mean, even here, it's like, what's underpinning all of this?
This popular restaurant also features...
Well, did it have any defense against what was about to happen?
They didn't. I mean, these people live. They didn't know, but they were living on the fumes of a civilization.
The opera, perhaps.
In their hubris, they thought they could do away with things that had got them there.
Yep. New York, or let things slide, you know, let it slide. Year after year. Masonic temple, do you see that?
Mm.
I mean, look at these people.
Ford Auditorium, acclaimed for its acoustics, is the home of Detroit's world-famous symphony orchestra. Its summer symphony, community-sponsored, plays under the stars.
You see, I've been watching quite a few old Disney productions recently, Dee, and this idea, this whole feeling of America in this era and a little bit beforehand as well, where it's all quite kind of romantic and whimsical and so on. I mean, that died a very hard death in the 60s, didn't it?
Yep.
I mean, they basically destroyed what they were going for here.
Yeah, look.
Mammoth Cobo Hall, geared to conventions of every kind and size.
Cobo Hall, by the way, the mecca of wrestling in Detroit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But Detroit's manufacturing
Cobo Hall Arena.
It's automotive.
The Sheik headlined many, many dates there.
By its cultural activities, too.
Oh.
The Detroit Institute of Arts houses
wonderful, amazing collection, which I fear. I mean, I fear for these collections. Because, of course, hereby they've been captured by people who have malicious intentions for them.
Yes.
And
people have no respect there for history or anything, really.
No, I mean, there was a story from Baltimore which attempted to sell off a number of the pictures that they owned as part of what they called decolonization, including an Andy Warhol painting, one of those Last Supper paintings. And it was such a furore that they were actually thwarted. They couldn't. They weren't able to do it. But I fear that that's the future of all these states.
Mm-hmm. The village and museum stand as an enduring monument to the genius of Henry Ford.
Yes.
Oh no, Greenwood Village. It's an amazing place. If you could ever go there, if you ever get over there to America, it's an absolutely amazing place.
Typical of Detroit's many institutions of higher education.
I mean, Henry Ford literally built this place. I mean, he built so much of this place.
Like other colleges and schools in the metropolitan area.
It's one of the... I think what happened to his legacy is one of the tragedies of America.
Great tragedies of America, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I mean, people can condemn this architecture all you want, but, I mean, you have to understand that this was built with... Certainly in this period, it was built with this idea that it was part of a kind of an endless future of expansion. You know, there was a strange optimism to this, even though, of course, it doesn't seem that way now.
Medical facilities are soon to be joined by a magnificent new medical center to rise on these grounds.
Mm-hmm.
This, as well as the other vast reaches of the city, where once lay the ugliness, the poverty, and sickness of slums, has been condemned and cleared.
Yeah, such progress
in medical facilities and research attracts the nation's leading doctors and surgeons. Typical of Detroit.
Yeah, he built a massive hospital there, you know, Ford did.
The painstaking restoration of historic old Mariners.
I think he's still there, you know.
Here is reflected the city's many old.
You know, it probably looks like a third world war zone now, but you know.
You're right. It has to be defended. Exciting place to be. Shoulder to shoulder, regardless of. You notice something in common about all these people? Look at all of them.
Detroit has earned an outstanding record in community relations.
Seem quite homogeneous, don't they? Nationally
recognized. An outstanding reputation in community relations.
Literally wearing Bavarian costumes. Red Indian. The foremost city
in international relations. I wouldn't speak too quickly there, Mayor.
I mean, exactly. As I was saying that, he's literally providing complete pause.
But also demonstrable lies. I mean, they did not have multicultural harmony, as they'd find out very soon.
Oh, here we go. Institute. Oh, does it? Its kind in the nation.
Here is a focal point for the multiracial strains that compose so much of Detroit's population.
There it is. I told you, it's seeds of... They were sowing the seed. But again, I mean, people thought that, you know, this was all very optimistic. We could all get together, a community of men, and enjoy fine cuisines from around the world and go, look it off. United States and
Canada.
Thousands go back and forth daily.
I mean, it's a whole United Nations psyop, you know. We're going to be like just like Star Trek. We're just going to be all respectful. Freedom Festival. There's freedom. By Detroit and Windsor.
Yes, right. If it's there in the most unexpected of places. I mean, one day we might do a stream on 1966 Batman. It's buried right in there as well, that United Nations vision of the kind of rainbow world.
Yeah.
Now, quite literally, we have the rainbow world, and it fucking sucks.
Yeah, literally. Like a stout heart within the city is Detroit industry. Yeah, there it is. Speed of technology and resources, which has put the world. I mean, of course, this was still a time where you could show a shot like that and not have to apologize for it. Like, that shot was meant to be positive, not negative.
Yeah. Places it in the vanguard of choice spots. General Motors.
GM. Manufacture
and expand. Now, unfortunately, there are a few economic things under the hood that contributed to the decline of Detroit, like... just like the fact that General Motors that we saw there had already been bailed out a couple of times at this point, I think.
Had they? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean... And also the... Research and the relationship between Ford Detroit and the U.S. government, the new way, the better way. Really since the Great Detroit Depression, was kind of, forward stride today. You know, one of mutual back-scratching, if you want to put it
right,
that way.
Right, tomorrow. With all the city's dedication to getting things... I mean, I suppose there was a point where the line between... the state and corporation became so fuzzy that it lost any meaning at all.
Indeed. And I think in a place like Detroit, like, what is really the difference between Ford and the state there?
Right.
It's the same thing, right? Ford was the car king.
I mean, America was heavily dependent upon these companies, you know, to the point where they were too big to fail. They couldn't fail.
And you know, the line that a Henry Ford or General Motors or whoever else would always come back to the government with is jobs, right? Jobs. Well, you saw what happened in Detroit.
Detroiters love sports, and Detroit provides an abundance of facilities as befits.
Because in the end, there were so many.
Here is what the late President John F. Kennedy said about Detroit. As it did for the 1968 Olympic Games.
The United States Olympic Committee has chosen Detroit, Michigan, as its nominee for the 1968 Olympic Games. Should Detroit be selected, as a result of your deliberations in Baden-Baden, I want to assure you of the warmest and most cordial welcome in the United States. Detroit is the center of a great sports community in central United States. We are anxious to open our doors in this section of the country, and indeed throughout the entire United States, to you all, to share our nation and our hospitality with participants and spectators from all over the world.
I don't think they did get it, did they?
No, they didn't get it. 68 was Mexico, I think. All of you have the wisdom ascribed to the Olympian gods in arriving at your very difficult decision.
Thank you. A strenuous pace is balanced by moments of relaxation
and serenity. Yeah, 68 was Mexico. Detroiters enjoy their water wonderland and their winter wonderland as well.
Detroit's beautiful island park, Belle Isle, and many other wooded parks.
Black Bob in there.
Playgrounds virtually at every front door. Detroiters not only participate, they are avid and vocal fans as well. Detroit is fiercely proud of its Tigers and just as partisan about its Lions.
Yeah. Consume sports, pleb.
I mean the impact of those riots we mentioned cannot be underestimated, though, Dee. I mean, people just moved. The thing that precipitated the massive exodus from Detroit, it wasn't just jobs. It was the safety element as well.
You
know, after you've had like arson and cars being destroyed and, you know, the things that happen, people didn't want to live there anymore. They literally just moved en masse, and they took their money with them. It was almost like a real life John Galt situation, where it was just like, well, how are we going to run this place without all of the productive citizens?
But... compare that to, you know, the summer of 2020, you know, I mean, I think some of those riots weren't any worse than what happened in Detroit in the 60s. And yet, did people run away? Maybe they did.
It did. There was a big exodus from New York, I seem to recall. And I think New York lost about 3% of its population. The coup was a factor as well, of course.
Yeah.
Shall we do one more before we get out of here? You got time?
Yeah. All right. Hang on a second.
Don't be a sucker. Control your emotions. A date with your family. Which one do you fancy? I'll let you pick, since I picked the last one.
Oh, sorry about that. Oh, dear. A date with family. Well, don't be a sucker is a boomer truth. Writ large. Make mine freedom. You want something lighthearted? You want something serious? I mean, I think we've been on a diner for a while.
let's have a look. I mean, I don't really mind.
All right. Shall we try? You don't be a sucker. Or we could do Make Mine Freedom. One's a cartoon and one...
Let's do Don't Be a Sucker. Let's
all do right. That one.
Okay, hold on. Oh, hold on, I'm in the wrong screen here. I'm now thinking about who was at that 1968 Olympics in various different... hold on.
Nope.
I'll come back. I think George Foreman may have been at that 68 Olympics.
Really? No, he's that old.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other people who were there. I want to say that Japanese wrestling team may have had a few famous wrestlers in it.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Possibly also the Iron Sheik may have gone to that. The Olympics as part of the team as well.
Amazing.
I could be wrong there. It's a lot of pretty famous guys were around, and also I've got it in the back of my mind that that dude who became what was his name? You know, in the Bond films, the guy who throws his hat. I want to say. Odd Job, you know.
Odd Job, yeah, yeah.
I'd have to double check that, but. All right, so here we are. One, two, three.
Wait, hang on.
Don't be a sucker, this is.
Yeah, don't play it. You can't play as Odd Job on GoldenEye. All right.
One, two, three, and go.
1946. 47.
He got on the train with $200. He couldn't see any harm in a friendly game of cards.
What if the other men trained is on a train.
And take Joe Collins. He's got a nice wife at home.
Mm.
But he met this girl at the bar and...
Uh-oh.
After the first couple of drinks.
Yeah. Strumpet. Slattin. Slapper.
Ooh. What's this all about, Ellen? He's been mugged.
There's a good old-fashioned word for people like us. We call them suckers. And there are other people. People who stay up nights, figuring out how to take away what they've got.
Sounds like you, eh?
There are all kinds of games. Mike here, for instance.
Oh.
He's got everything in me. He's young, he's healthy, got a job.
Yeah.
And he's got a plenty of food. Big factories to make things a man can use.
Mm.
Big cities to do the business of a big company. And people. Lots of people. Enough to work the farm and build the factories. Dig the mines. Run the business. All kinds of people. People from different countries with different religions.
Oh,
different colored skin.
Oh, there we go.
Free people.
Free people.
They can live together and work together and build America together because they're free.
And in total free harmony.
To say what they please. Go to
yeah.
their own churches.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little Ryan Turnip there. You know.
Yeah. Mike's got something, all right.
Yeah, Mike. Enjoy
not
it.
America.
Yeah, you got it, Mike.
But there are guys who stay up nights figuring out how to take that away from him.
Oh,
no. I happen to know the facts. Now, friends, I'm just an average American. But I'm an American American. And some of the things I see in this country of ours make my blood boil.
Mm-hmm.
I see people with foreign acclimony. I see Negroes holding jobs that belong to me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I ask you, if we allow this thing to go on, what's going to become of us real Americans?
What is going to become of you?
I've heard this kind of talk before, but I never expected to hear it in America.
This fellow seems to know what he's talking about.
What are we real Americans going to do about it? You'll find it right here in this little pamphlet. The truth about Negroes and foreigners. The truth about the Catholic Church.
Whoa! Whoa!
I don't know, makes pretty good sense to me.
And I tell you,
face
friends,
Mike.
We'll never be able to call this country our own. Until it's a country without. Without what? Yeah, without what? Without Negroes. Without alien foreigners. Without Catholics.
Oh,
without
oh.
Freemasons.
Oh.
You know these Masons.
What's wrong with the Masons? I'm a Mason.
Of course you are.
And that makes a difference, doesn't it?
These are your enemies. These are the people
who are trying. I mean, I look at the Supreme Court. I look at Joe Biden's administration.
Hey, what's
that? Look
out. Look out. Look out.
Thank you.
Oh,
look. He hasn't got the social proof. He's lost everyone. He's lost
everyone. No, he lost everyone.
He said Masons. You were ready to agree with him.
You're ready to agree with him? Where are you from, sir?
What about those other people?
Is it Hungary, maybe?
In this country, we have no other people. We are American people.
Are we?
What about you? You aren't American, right? I was born in Hungary, but now I am
oh,
American.
You're...
And
yeah.
I have seen what this kind of talk can do. I saw it in Berlin.
What were you doing there?
I was a professor at the university.
Oh, subversive professor at the university?
Be careful of this guy, I'm telling you, Mike.
I know.
Don't listen to him.
Crazy people.
He speaks with forked tongue, I tell you.
Yeah. But
unfortunately, it was not so.
Mm. It's Louis Althusser.
You see, they knew that they were not strong enough to conquer a unified country. So they split Germany into small groups. They used prejudice as a practical weapon to cripple the nation.
Mm.
Of course, that was not easy to do. They had to work hard to do it.
Mm.
You see, we human beings are not born with prejudices.
No.
They are made for us.
The funny thing is, of course, he's describing exactly how the elites work today. It just in the flip side.
Yes.
This is not classroom theory. I saw it happen.
Uh-oh.
I saw it first in Berlin in 1932.
For no reason at all.
Five young men that I knew were standing in the crowd listening to the Nazi speaker. Eric was a Catholic.
Oh, Eric. Based Eric.
Anton, a student of mine, was a Jew. Heinrich owned a small hardware store. Karl was a farmer.
Boy, he could pack a punch.
Was an unemployed metal worker.
To all Aryan Germans, I say it is time you and
I mean, there was no reason this happened to Eric. This just came out, this arose with no cause. Nothing stimulated
just
this.
Just the hatred in men's hearts is alone.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we're not like that in America.
No, America is
very
like
important. It doesn't matter what. Now. It doesn't matter how many cities are destroyed. how many values are undercut. Don't do that sort of thing in America. Isn't that right, James Lindsay?
Eh? He must be ostracized. He must be eliminated. And the Catholics. We don't want our great nation run by a foreign church. We Germans will know what to do with these people.
Look
the
at the base Catholic,
they
amazing.
Must be destroyed.
Chad Catholic.
In Germany, we have no.
Oh, I feel like I might be right about those Catholics.
There may be only one society.
Oh. Okay.
there's a loss of Catholic influence Germany. In America. Can't help but notice it.
Oh, well, I'm afraid to say, if you look at the Mises Institute.
These men were all fellow Germans when they came here today.
We're everywhere, eh?
Groups, suspicious of each other, hating each other. They were being swindled, all of them.
Swindled.
But the man who was really being fooled was Hans.
Hans.
He was pure German, according to Nazi standards. To him they promised everything, and he fell for it.
Yeah.
That's he's the sucker.
Became a Superman.
He is a sucker.
Ubermensch Hans.
He wasn't just a little fellow out of work anymore. He was a member of the master race. Hans and thousands of others like him.
Suckers game. Suckers.
They gambled with other people. Oh look, there he is, the Austrian painter.
They lost their own. A nation of
suckers. I mean,
Hitler needed these people. There was lots of work to be
done. I feel that there's some dishonesty in this history here that, unfortunately, didn't make America as immune to this as they thought, because they failed to account for why some of this stuff we're seeing here may have been happening.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with it. I mean, if you're going to do an honest history...
They have omitted key details.
Yeah, if you're going to do an honest history of this period, I mean, obviously these are terrible things, but... These didn't rise from nowhere. There were reasons all these things happened, and of course we don't talk about those. I mean, not saying that they were justified, but there were reasons, and I think if you're going to be a historian, if you're going to talk about history, then you have to acknowledge... That there were
what were the reasons?
Yeah.
Not just the hatred in men's hearts.
It was not just cartoonish, yes.
Is
that Goering
there? Can I just ask something? Was that real footage of Hitler?
That was real footage of Hitler, but that last thing, I don't think it was. Oh, the book burning! Yeah, another thing that's never fully explained.
What were the books?
What were the books? When did that happen? Why did he do it?
Education was discouraged. In 5 years, college attendance dropped 53%.
But why? Why did it? What was happening in the colleges?
What were they teaching in the colleges?
Read an American newspaper. In Nazi Germany, you had to get your information...
The only reason I mentioned that, it was that real, is that, you know that film Downfall?
Yes.
Hitler's hand is like, kind of... I was like, oh, is that... Did he really do that? was that an accurate kind of... Now, we always wonder why his hand was like that in Downfall, but he was doing it then, in that footage. So.
Yeah, no, that was a real thing. I mean, that film is actually quite faithful. Bruno Ganz, who played...
Yeah, well, why did he do that with his hand?
Because at the point with Downfall was... I mean, at the point of that history, Hitler was on a huge amount of drugs, one of which I believe was some sort of palsy. But it could be that the drugs he was on actually made the palsy worse. So yes, he did have a primary tremor like that.
Slender.
It's Gary. Oop.
Blue eye.
That's a Hess, of course.
Yeah, who is this character?
And blonde. There is no Aryan race.
Uh-oh.
And more important, there is no master race.
Really?
There are people who may find these ideas convenient, but science cannot support...
See, that's another one of those things that I found in my reading, Dee, is that the... claim of the master, claim of the superiority is something I've not actually really... I we're told over and over again that this is the case, but I read through all of Goebbels' speeches one day, and he didn't really talk about that.
Never mentioned it at all. I've looked into that as well, because the idea was that had a lineage with Nietzsche, the Übermensch, and all that, but. It didn't trickle down into anything that was ever really made public. I mean, that, you know, that may have been a motivational factor in a kind of higher echelon, but
they don't really talk about it.
No, never mentioned, because of course they wouldn't. I mean, they would. These were people, better or worse, were the masters of propaganda. You know, I mean, Goebbels knew exactly what he was doing.
But the idea of a superior race is present in certain other literatures I've read.
It is, but that whole idea of Ubermen.
Not from that group. Oh, not from this group, but from a different group. Which is one of those things that I find fascinating, given how often we've seen projection as the, you know, given how often we've seen projection is a tool used by the left. But anyway, let's have a look.
Protected each other, they could have resisted the Nazi threat. Together they would have been strong, but once they allowed themselves to be split apart.
Is that really why? Is that why they didn't? I don't think that's why they didn't resist.
They made the mistake of gambling with other people's freedom. Now let's see how those bets paid off. Karl the farmer was gambling on a better life for himself.
Did he get a better life?
Extra hours of back-breaking work.
Did he?
As much as 100 hours a week.
I don't think that's how Karl was planning to produce
what he was told to produce. Because now Hitler was preparing for war.
We'll go along with it.
For Heinrich, who owned a hardware store, the bet didn't pay off either.
No.
104,000 small businesses were closed in 2 years. And for Hans, conditions hadn't improved any.
One thought. He had a job. But who owned those businesses?
I know, I don't know. I didn't.
Hours for little pay.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a war economy, what do you expect? They did the same thing in America. Yeah, exactly. Death for workers. I mean, the same thing happened in America and all the Allied countries.
I mean, this is just like New Deal. This is literally New Deal.
Literally New Deal, and certainly would happen in any war economy, including the Allies.
Once again, Hitler needed.
I said he was very keen on Hitler's war economy. Is Paul Krugman, D.
Really?
He's always praising German 1930s recovery.
Krugman.
And Lord Keynes. Lord Keynes and, too. They love it.
But Lord Keynes too advocates
Well, amazing. I've said it many times. Keynesianism is literally just Nazi economics. Literally, it's just the same thing.
Yep. War-footing economics, yeah. El Alamein, yeah? Wait, hang on. How did we get here?
But, you know, this is the James Burnham thesis that FDR's New Deal America... Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union were basically three managerial states. And I mean, I've got a copy of it here. I'm looking at it. The managerial revolution is literally all three of those states were variations on the same system.
Yep.
Which is correct.
Yep.
For the misguided Germans who had swallowed the Nazi bait, the Nazi game did not pay off. The continent of Europe was strewn with...
I mean, I think that is the temptation of certain people to say that, you know, there's recently been this debate about...
was left in the snow outside of Moscow.
Paul died at Stalingrad. Salerno.
And Hans, who was going to... I find it very interesting that this morality tale is put into the mouth of the Hungarian professor, let's just say.
That happened to us or to our country.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Never let ourselves be divided by race or color or religion.
I mean, they've literally dramatized the persuasion right here.
I was born in Hungary.
It's the Hungarian professor persuading Mike the Wasp, you know.
Yeah, I'm a Hungarian, you're a Mason. We're both minorities.
You go to the Methodist Church. Your right to belong to these minorities is a precious thing. You have a right to be what you are and say what you think.
Yeah, you're a minority, just like me. Because that's what you should be. You're American. We're a nation of minorities.
This is a practical and priceless way.
It's a proposition nation. It's an idea.
We must guard everyone's liberty, or we can lose our own. If we allow any minority to lose its freedom by persecution or by...
I want him to just... I love the amazing ending if he turns and just punches Gary.
Then that's going to happen.
Good, no.
Common sense. You see, here in America, it's not a question whether we tolerate minorities.
It's failed, though. It's this vision that this Hungarian professor is slinging on Mike has failed. 100% it's failed. I'm not saying that the mid-century Germans were right and he was wrong, D, but he was wrong. As
he
well.
Was wrong. I mean, basically,
mid-century Germans were wrong, but he was wrong as well.
The entire thing that he said was basically upended and is now being promoted by the elites as literally the opposite of what he said.
Yeah.
Which is setting a minority against minority. All the things that he said that liberal American democracy would prevent, they now literally encourage. Will not be shown to the general public without permission of a War Department. Thank you, War Department. Very cool.
There we go.
Oh, God.
Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. One more.
Well,
one more.
Yeah, all right. I can do one more. What do we want to do?
Control your emotions.
Yeah, let's
mind
do
freedom.
No, let's do control your emotions. Because it's sort of less heavy, I would say.
Okay. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three, and go.
Coronet!
Oh dear, oh dear. Do you think Susan will be all right with that mid-century German footage being shown? They're very funny about these sorts of things these days.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, of course, you know, the point is that you can never know. You have to live in fear because... You can't ever comply with the rules because the rules are vague. Fire and put it to
work. Oh. Much like in mid-century Germany, you might say.
Yeah, exactly.
Or in the Soviet Union.
Or the Soviet Union, or you know, America in 2021. I mean, that's...
Your emotions can make you healthier and happier, and improve the lives of people around you. I think of fire and emotions.
I love this man.
You become stirred up when your emotions control your actions. It affects not only yourself, but the people.
You know, Columba could grow up to be this man.
Oh, terrible. No, Columba's going to get swollen face.
Yeah.
Right. I like his picture of his mother up there. Oh.
You respond with various emotions. Stimulus response. Just as this sort of stimulus produces this sort of involuntary muscular response. Well... That's a rather simplified suggestion of a complex mental process. But you get the idea.
Cause, yeah, I get the idea. Effect.
Nature endows us at birth with three general patterns of emotional response.
What is that thing on his
rage
desk?
It's the response to the primary stimulus of thwarting. Something interfering with our...
Thwarting rage.
Our action.
I love fear this sort of thing.
Is the response to loud noises or loss of support.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right. What?
And the Thank emotional you. Response to love.
Love?
Is usually the result of a show of affection.
Okay.
And favors.
All right.
Yeah.
And these seem to be the emotions.
Rage for in love.
We start life.
Yeah.
Then as we grow up.
I spoke to someone once, Steve, who claimed that anger doesn't actually exist as an emotion. It's always downstream of something else.
Called conditioning. Oh. And so many things never heard that.
And in general, that's kind of interesting.
I mean, this man would know. I mean, look, he's got books. What is that thing on the right? I'm obsessed with that. Is that a lamp?
It's a lamp. It's definitely a lamp.
All right. It looks like a... Oh!
But emotions out of control.
Computer graphics. Well, computer graphics kill the massive prop.
Wonderful. Yeah, I love the idea of someone making these things, making these blocks.
What might happen to you, or to me, or to Jeffrey Moore?
Oh, Jeffrey Moore.
Jeffrey Moore. And healthy and well balanced young fellow. He usually gets along well with people.
I like the idea that Malt Shop in America had like a bookshelf. Jeff, what is that? His pals are
discussing a I might write a fiction D where Jeffrey Moore goes to York and meets Tommy Watkins.
Look at these.
Maybe years later they can bump into Geronimo, you know, little froggy.
Look at the Coca-Cola. What did he?
What's he doing?
What is he doing?
Hey, what are you doing, Jeff?
Some jerk.
Yeah. Oh, he's trying to be a soda jerk.
I saw the whole Y stunt. Now, just suppose you clean it up.
Oop.
Go on, wise guy, clean it up.
Look, go on, bullying. Wise guy. Amazing bullying.
Look at the washerwoman. Wise guys, huh?
Look at the washerwoman.
But suppose I don't pick you up tonight. I got a darn good notion to let you guys walk to the party.
Oh.
What got into here? Gee, I don't know.
Wise guy, huh?
Wise guy, eh? Wise guy.
What's the stimulus that brings on this sudden emotional response of anger?
Humiliation? Emasculation? What is it?
Well, it might be.
What was he trying to do in the first place?
I don't know what he was trying to do.
He deserved
it all. He was trying to do a fancy trick to impress his pals.
It was massively deserved.
And now it's later than he thought.
Oh.
He tries a shortcut, hurrying to get home.
Who in the world left that there? What a time to water the lawn.
What a time to water.
Why I order.
Why I order.
You've heard.
I love
it. Waste. Jeff is frustrated by the
Jeff, you're a fucking mess already. Yeah, you asked for it, Jeff.
Of course, Jeff's going to get the car ready for the party tonight.
Uh-oh.
He wouldn't really miss a chance to impress the gang.
Hmm.
He's deserved every moment of what's happened to him so far.
Yeah. Like push button ignition.
Starter won't work.
I've got one of them. Now.
Based.
Again, his behavior is thwarted. And a habit is being developed. A habit of allowing such things to annoy him.
Thwarted.
He's always thwarted.
Jeff's losing control of himself. His thinking is becoming muddled.
Whoa!
And he's careless.
Everything.
The madder he gets, the worse it becomes.
Oh, no.
Did you ever hear anyone say, I was so mad I couldn't see straight? Severe emotional stress often decreases efficiency. See what I mean? And of course, it's the fault of the wrench. This is called projection. He's projecting the blame to the wrench.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting phenomena.
Well, we've
projection.
Seen Jeff lose control of himself in rage. Let's see how the rest of the family.
I like how Jeff is just literally falling apart before our eyes. Oh,
he's literally having a meltdown, as they'd put it, as the kids would put it these days.
Wonderful. I love the new dress you made. Thank you, Joan, dear.
By the way, I have that very coffee pot that's on that table there.
For mother. This makes both mother and Joan happier.
Oop.
But how does it affect Jeff?
Jeff.
And how does his anger affect the others?
Oh, you're the sweetest, bestest mother and
it's
girl.
It's Fiesta wear, by the way, that we're wondering. Oop.
I'm glad you like the dress, Joan.
You look fucking psychopath. psycho. I love it.
What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? His sister having a dress?
What's gotten into that crazy kid's sister?
Oh, Jeff, don't be that way.
Mm. I wish I could have a dress. Seems to what's wrong with him? Because of Jeff's
anger. Oh. But it's spread. Violent emotion, it's like COVID. We often see an induction of behavior or spread of emotion to other persons, almost like a contagious disease. Yeah, it's like COVID. It's anger COVID. Right. Oh. This kid.
Say, what have you got? Well, that's my letter.
Why I order?
Why I order? What?
I got your letter.
Dirty little sneak. You gonna give me that letter? Ain't gonna give it to me?
No. What a shrimp.
Oh, whoa.
You dirty sneaky rat.
Give me that letter. I'll teach you not to open my hand.
Stop it. I'm not getting crying like a little bitch.
Who's that it?
Sometimes rage, fear, and love are aroused together at the same time. Mother's love of her children and her fear for Roger's safety were mixed with anger, almost rage, at both boys for the part they played in the flare-up.
Mm. Justified.
Of course, Jeffrey's family didn't realize that he had been exposed to one irritating situation after another. An accumulation of stimuli which brought about an abnormally strong response.
Just describing my everyday life, Dave.
What did this do to Jeff? This sort of uncontrolled emotional outburst.
This is the average life of the married man.
He regrets some of the things he said, but he can't unsay them. He's tired. That feeling of fatigue may spoil a good time on his date tonight.
You're talking a lot, but you're not saying anything! Often, when I have nothing to say, to my lips are sealed. Personality. Psycho killer!
What could Jeff do to keep better control?
Kill.
Well, we say he could, one, eliminate the stimulus.
Okay.
Two, modify the stimulus.
Yeah.
Or three, modify the response.
Mm.
With these three ideas in mind, let's examine Jeff's episode again. To control his emotions, Jeff
I don't understand.
The failure to impress his pals by trying such fancy tricks only when he can do them successfully.
Don't be a little twat.
Sometimes the trick fails. There are many times when you can't eliminate the stimulus. Try to modify the stimulus. Standing off and looking at himself, Jeff realizes that a slip like that won't really hurt his standing with the gang.
Yeah.
Taking it all lightly as a good sport, Jeff impresses the gang a lot more than if he gets angry over such a little thing.
Wow.
It helps to recognize and understand the emotional patterns.
Then you vault over a hedgerow? Eliminate or modify
the stimulus.
Oh,
and there's
another
even more valuable way to control your emotions. Modify the response. Rather than get in the habit of getting angry, Jeff can substitute.
I failed again.
His response by
just take it on the chin. Take it on the chin, son.
What good does it do to get angry about
that?
Happy-go-lucky Jeff.
Jeff's in the habit of controlling his emotions. His thinking is straighter.
Yeah.
Push the button. No starter.
Push it. Let's push it, Jeff.
Pull the light switch. No light. That means something.
Oh, a flat battery.
No horn either. So, must be a dead battery.
Yes!
That's straight thinking. Unmuddled by emotional disturbances. And it's a simple thing to call the garage or someone for a push and a recharge.
No!
Fly off the handle and take it out on the things and the people around.
Yeah.
When he tries to understand his
emotions. Oh, Jeff's gonna get his own dress,
people
isn't
around
he?
Him. Jeff has less trouble controlling himself, and he and those around him are happy.
Oh, look at this. And that's my twat.
The more he exercises control of his emotional behavior,
the easier it becomes to meet the next situation without losing control.
Oh, how about it?
Come on, George Putnam sent me that porn. Give it to me.
And so, a happier time all around. The emotions are under control.
Alright. How about you help me get the car pushed out of the garage so we can get it started and fixed up for tonight? You know, if the car's running, I can drop you off the movie.
It would be really funny, D. If his ultimate destination is to get to the speech of that guy.
He's the one that doesn't that pops the Hungarian professor in the nose.
Or by modifying the stimulus.
Yeah. Push the car, you little
or
boss.
By modifying the response.
Amazing.
You can control the fire of your emotions.
The fire of your emotions.
Your emotions
I need a timeline where all the videos you watch converge, pleasant. You know.
They all come
and
together.
You and those around you are a great deal happier.
And the Apache kids fall into the campfire and burn to death.
little kid brother goes and watches his Punch and Judy with Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
Oh,
thank you, Coronet. Oh. Very cool.
Well, D, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you. I mean, I hope we provided the requisite chair for all the audience.
I mean, I hope Susan will allow it to fly, you know. I don't see why it wouldn't. I don't see why they wouldn't, but I do remember there was one point where they got a bit funny about the old, you know, mid-century German symbols being shown and things like that. But
yeah, I mean, there are a few shots of that. I mean, the thing is, I mean, all these things are public domain, and they're all quite well known. Apaches is the only one that isn't, but it's BFI. So hopefully Susan won't mind. I mean, we are, let's just state that we're thoroughly against the mid-century Germans.
Let me just say, the official, what did Susan want? Susan, I'm against booze being shown on YouTube, but I'm pro-porn. I think that's meant to be the correct position, right?
Exactly.
I'm pro-kids dressing up in cross-dressing and things like that, but I'm against, boobs being shown on YouTube. Okay, so
exactly, I'm pro-transsexual.
I'm pro the Hungarian professor, but I'm against the mid-century Germans.
Against the mid-century Germans, they go against all our values. We like to see white children maimed on the farm.
We believe every
narrative about the election.
Yeah, Detroit. Detroit is a wonderful, successful,
vibrant
city. You know, with no slums. What else? I'm against kids being killed on farms.
Exactly. and we still love Coca-Cola.
Yes, indeed. Although I do have Pepsi Max here, has to be said.
Oh, betrayal.
Merry Christmas, everyone. And if anybody sent super chats, as I said, I will do a super chat catch up stream at the end of the week. Otherwise, hope you're having a good holiday season, and we'll be back tomorrow with the Unpopular Opinions Party. What do you reckon? The Christmas party?
Yay! Christmas party! Yay! A Star Wars toy.
And then we're going to do Star Wars. Then we're going to do obscure prequel characters of
Star
Wars.
I'm very keen to watch that. Yeah.
I've got the nerds to pick five characters each.
I know. I have no knowledge at all about Star Wars. So all I know is Yarrow Poof, and I'm very happy.
He was one of my picks, of course.
Oh, was he your pick? Yeah. Very excited to see the lore about Yarrow Poof. Yeah.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Merry Christmas.